In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a 7-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Morant with a running start. Elevates. Ooh! Oh, it dunks! Oh, my goodness! Dunks! Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heat. It's good! Memphis on top! 17-3!
Kaminawa three. Count it! A 15-point lead for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception to something. The officials break it up quickly.
See, he just locked his arm and then kind of pulled him over. Zach falls down, and then, you know what? A little elbow there.
Oh, he's digging the elbow. Griffin.
Yeah, you know.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Keith Parrish. This is an exciting episode. I am ecstatic about the moves the Memphis Grizzlies made in the last few days since draft night. If you've been with me for long listening to Grits and Grinds, you're not surprised. This is basically what I wanted. Most importantly, the Grizzlies re-signed D'Anthony Melton to a team-friendly contract. It's a descending contract, so he's making $9.6 million this year, which is obviously on the high end of what a lot of people thought he was worth. I thought he was worth more than that, even. But overall, it's a 4-year, $35 million deal that's going to descend each year of that contract. You lock up a young piece of this Grizz next gen. A guy who is just 1 month older than the Grizzlies' first round draft pick, Desmond Bane. I'm going to come back to D'Anthony Melton. That was the biggest piece of news for me. Letting him go, letting him walk, losing that piece of the young core, I thought was going to be a big blow. I didn't think it would happen. I was pretty sure the front office felt the same way as I did, but I was still worried. So it was a relief when that contract was signed. They also did other business. They retained John Conchar and they retained Jontay Porter. We have our 2021 Memphis Grizzlies. Like, it's done. I identified some targets that I wanted to maybe hunt down in free agency that I was okay with getting. Most of the top ones are off the board. Your Justin Holidays, your Kent Bazemores, your Alec Burks. But over the last couple weeks, I basically realized that I assumed the Grizzlies were just going to retain probably two of the three of D'Anthony Melton, John Conchar, and Jontay Porter, and maybe call it an offseason. That's a full lid. We got our team. We're good to go. And they did a little bit more than that, but I don't think they're going to sign anybody. I think the business is done. They just have to cut down the roster now because they have too many people. 17 bodies, 17 players under contract for next season, assuming second round draft pick Xavier Tillman signs a multi-year deal, which I assume he will. So let's go over this whole roster, what we have right now, and let's go over kind of how we got here and look at this Grizzlies team that I'm very excited about. We got the final details of draft night. Xavier Tillman, the Michigan State big, who's the 35th pick. The Grizzlies traded, we know, the 40th pick of this year and a future second. That future second is a 2022 second that the Grizzlies got from the Pistons in the James Ennis trade deadline deal of 2018. So trading away James Ennis got this second round pick. That second round pick was used along with the 40th pick of this season to move up five spots to select Jaren Jackson Jr.'s buddy, Xavier Tillman, who he said he wants to be sort of a Draymond Green type on offense, a facilitator. Maybe he has secondary playmaking ability as far as passing from the big man position. He was drafted for his defense and rebounding and high IQ. So we found out that detail. That second round pick was a 2022 second they got from the Pistons. The Desmond Bain trade was held up for a while because we didn't know exactly what the details were going to be. On draft night, Zach Kleiman couldn't talk about the deals because that all had to be worked out still. So the details finally came out. We assumed there was going to be probably some salary involved. If you remember, I'd suggested the Grizzlies this year could possibly move up to that 30th pick from the Celtics by taking on either Enes Kanter or Vincent Poirier's salaries from the Celtics. Well, it ended up being a three-way deal where Enes Kanter went to the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers sent Mario Hezonja to the Grizzlies. So we are taking on that salary. The Celtics did unload the salary they wanted to unload. The Trailblazers were happy to have Enes Kanter. And the Grizzlies end up with Mario Hezonja. And then the Grizzlies also are going to send two second-rounders to the Celtics. The Grizzlies are sending their own 2025 second-round pick and a 2023 second-rounder that the Grizzlies got last year for trading DeLon Wright. The sign-and-trade of DeLon Wright to the Mavericks netted two second-round picks. They used one of those in this trade. So remember, getting extra second-round picks is good. You may remember Chris Wallace saying it wasn't worth trading Tyreke Evans at the trade deadline a couple years ago because they were only getting second-round picks. Second-round picks are good. They make deals happen. They made these deals happen. This 2023 second-round pick that the Grizzlies are sending out, its protections are so confusing. These are the details on the traded 2023 second-round pick. Again, I'm just going to read it off a real GM. It's kind of funny. 2023 second-round draft pick from Houston, Dallas, or Miami. Dallas will receive the more favorable of its 2023 second-round pick and Miami's 2023 second-round pick. Boston will now receive the more favorable of one, Houston's 2023 second-round pick, protected for selections 31 and 32, and two, the less favorable of the Dallas pick and the Miami pick, and Houston will receive the least favorable of the three via Memphis's right to swap Dallas or Miami for Houston. If the Houston pick falls within its protected range and is therefore not conveyable, then Houston's obligation to Boston will be extinguished. I don't think there's any way to follow that. But basically, the Grizzlies traded away a second-round pick they got for DeLon Wright. And the Grizzlies bring in Mario Hezonja. Super Mario. Let's talk about Mario Hezonja. Mario Hezonja is bad at basketball. He's not a project. I know he's only 25, but he's barely an NBA player. He probably won't be in the NBA after this season. He might not be in the NBA this season. I got a text from a buddy who said this is the last season of Hezonja in the NBA. And I said, false. Last season was Mario Hezonja's last season in the NBA. Mario Hezonja had a player option for this year for $1.98 million, which is just a little bit over the minimum. And he opted in. If you're opting into a veteran minimum, you're aware you're probably not staying in the NBA anywhere. Mario Hezonja is not going to help this Grizzlies team. They honestly have a need for someone his size and with his theoretical skill set who can play small forward, can do a little bit of time at the power forward, you know, can shoot, but like Hezonja can't shoot. I guess there's a chance because of, again, him fitting a needed player archetype and role that he'll be on this team, but I don't think so. I don't think Mario Hezonja is ever coming to the Grizzlies. People are like, oh, you know, Marco Guterich, we cut him. We'll keep Azonia. Neither one of them are definitely NBA players. I'd rather give Marco Guterich another go, because he is the excuse, at least, of not having a lot of experience in the NBA. Hazonia's played a lot of NBA games, and he doesn't have it. Guterich doesn't look like he has it, but I'm willing to give him more of a chance. So, I don't think Hazonia's coming in anywhere near Memphis. Like I said earlier, the Grizzlies have 17 players under contract. You can only have 15 on opening night. The easy thing to do, if the season were to start very soon, is obviously you just cut Hazonia, you cut Marco Guterich. You have more dead money, but not a big deal. Add that to Deion Waiters. You know, the Grizzlies are carrying a lot of dead money this year. Who cares? Doesn't matter. You would just cut those two guys. I feel like some people were saying the Grizzlies have a lot of bigs. You know, maybe get a buyout with Gorgui Dieng. There's no chance. Gorgui Dieng can help you on the court, but more importantly, probably for the Grizzlies, Gorgui Dieng has a massive salary that you want to have, that you can use in trades if an opportunity opens up. If you need matching salary, if things go horribly wrong in Orlando, and at the trade deadline, they're like, hey, you Grizzlies are in a playoff chase. Do you want Evan Fournier for 2 second-round draft picks? And the Grizzlies might say, sure, here's Gorgui Dieng and 2 seconds. Or if something goes wrong in Sacramento, lots of weird stuff going on in Sacramento. You know, the Bogdan Bogdanovic sign-and-trade got messed up. It fell apart. Now Bogdanovic has signed an offer sheet with the Hawks. Maybe the Kings will match. It's only for $18 million a year. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not too much for a wing of his caliber. Maybe things go very south. Maybe the Kings decide to match that offer sheet and decide they do want to trade later in the year, either Bogdanovic or Buddy Hield. You have to have Gorgui Dieng's salary on the books to trade to make one of those big deals. So for that reason, I don't think there's any chance that you would buy out Gorgui Dieng at this juncture. Maybe late in the season after the trade deadline? Sure, absolutely. By all means, buy out Gorgui Dieng. But you're not going to do it before then. The Grizzlies could try to make a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 player trade, but those are difficult and hard to come up with, because at this point, it's hard to find teams that have a lot of roster spots who have a player that you want to trade for. So that's theoretically possible. But right now I'm having trouble identifying them, because it's hard to know who's on every team right now with all the player transactions and free agency. Maybe when things will settle, there could be a chance to attach someone who's not totally awful, like Grayson Allen, with a Marco Guterich and bring back one player. Or if they do want to deal away Kyle Anderson, I only say that because when the team's fully healthy, like last year, he didn't play that many minutes, and I'm projecting this year, if the team's fully healthy, he won't play that many minutes. But the team also is not fully healthy, like we've been over. Justice Winslow not expected on an opening night. Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be out for a while. Because of that, looking at this roster that I think is basically done, you need Kyle Anderson for a while. So I don't think a 2-for-1 trade is likely, but it is possible. But I think more than likely, you're just going to see some guys get waived when it comes down to it. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I should go back to cover the other deals. Let's go back to Melton. So on Saturday, the news broke that the Grizzlies had agreed to this deal with DeAnthony Melton. I was on cloud 9. You guys know I love him. I don't understand, actually, why people don't love him or why people aren't excited about this deal. Feel like if the Grizzlies had just drafted him last year, like if he was a rookie last year and led the team in steals, only playing 19 minutes a game, and led the team in on-off, and led the team in net rating, we would just be like, this is awesome. This guy's great. We got to keep him. And like now he's making, you know, almost Jaren Jackson Jr. money. He's making what a top draft pick would get paid. But he's making a fair rate for what someone who contributes. We already know if DeAnthony Melton doesn't get any better, he's worth $8 million a year to NBA teams. So we're buying him at his floor if he develops that three-point shot at all. If his shooting goes from 30% from three to 35% from three, he becomes a plug-and-play player on any NBA team. I understand his handle is not very good. He can't create his own shot. His shooting was bad. He was horrible in the bubble. Even when he couldn't make a shot in the bubble, I'm repeating myself, even when he couldn't make a shot in the bubble, the Grizzlies were good when he was on the court. He just does stuff. He gets the ball. He rebounds. He's an unbelievably good rebounder for a team that has a lot of subpar rebounders. And I know age isn't everything. There's experience into it. Like, I'm not too worried that Brandon Clark's 24, DeAnthony Melton's 22, but he's already shown so much promise, and he's the exact same age as Desmond Bain. There are much greater odds DeAnthony Melton is in the NBA in 5 years than there are for Desmond Bain, obviously. DeAnthony Melton is already a proven NBA player. He's already proven he can be a guy in the top eight of a rotation of a team competing for the playoffs. So again, if he never gets better, you can trade him at this number, no problem. If you get better players than DeAnthony Melton, you can trade him. That's great. It's not a problem. Paying a rotation player $8 million a season is a fair rate. And to have a young guy who still has promise and potential, I'm ecstatic about it. And the contract goes down. Shams reported it was $9.6 million in the first year of the deal. If it goes down at regular intervals, that would mean it's just going to be $7.6 million in the final year of that deal. Great job by the front office getting that done. For me, the Grizzlies' core, like their most important players now, you got Ja and Jaren are 1 and 2. 3 and 4 for me are Brandon Clark and DeAnthony Melton. Until I've seen Desmond Bain and Xavier Tillman play against NBA competition, until I've seen that Justice Winslow can be healthy, like that's the main part of the core that we have going forward. There are other bunch of young players. I mean, it's incredible the collection of players the Grizzlies have who are young and under contract. For example, another bit of restricted free agent business the Grizzlies did, they kept John Conchar. Signed him to a 4-year deal. I think there's going to be team options on the last 2 years of that deal. I don't really know. He's not making a ton. I'm pleased about this, but I'm not DeAnthony Melton level excited. I was prepared for John Conchar to go, if need be. I was encouraged by what he did last year. I thought it was kind of impressive. And this is a very, again, team-friendly deal. If Conchar turns out to be a consistent bench player in the NBA, it's a great deal. Absolutely incredible deal. He seems like that glue guy. Does a lot of cohesive stuff on the court. Gets deflections, gets steals, makes the extra pass. Can knock down some open shots. If that's the guy he becomes, it's a great deal. It's a steal. I don't think it's guaranteed he becomes that guy. Every opportunity he got on the court this year, he was good. I mean, maybe a slow start, but like he maximized his opportunities. I know he blew 3 alley-oops that Josh Jackson tried to throw him. But when he was on the court, he delivered. And it was weird. This is a guy, I guess it's not weird, it's what you expect. This is a guy who was drafted largely based on analytics. He had an unbelievable analytical profile where they were like, this guy's team is incredible when he plays. And that translated 100% to the NBA. And obviously he didn't play very much. He didn't get that much playing time. So it's a small sample size. But the amount of rebounds and steals and blocks he got for being undersized, it was uncanny. And his field goal percentage was incredible. And he knocked down half of his threes. I know I think he took 10. And it's a huge caveat, but if he gets better at that three-point shot and becomes a more willing and quicker shooter, you got another role player. I don't know what the ceiling is on him. I can't imagine him ever starting. He seems like a Brian Cardinal that's too small, or like a much less strong and smaller PJ Tucker. But I can imagine him developing into someone who's a bench player for a long time. A lot remains to be seen for Conchar. So on Saturday, that all went down where it was Melton and Conchar are signed. And that brought us up to 16 bodies. Then on Sunday, they announced the Grizzlies have got a deal done with Jontay Porter. A 3-year deal. Gonna guess the last 2 years of that are non-guaranteed. So Jontay Porter is another prospect. Jontay Porter is now the youngest player on the team, actually younger than Jaren Jackson Jr. At one point, Jontay Porter was a top prospect in the 2019 draft, but he blew both of his knees out. He's had two ACL injuries. The scouting report says he's basically a tweener between a 4 and a 5. His NBA position would be maybe more of a 5. He's got nice touch, good shooter, but maybe the ceiling's kind of low as far as his defensive potential. I'm just relaying things I've read. Never seen this guy play. He only played a few games his freshman year at Missouri. But the Grizzlies are buying in on this guy. They're taking a flyer to see if he turns out to be good. So that's the 17th body. That's the 17th guaranteed contract that the Grizzlies brought in. They are, like I said, done. I'd be stunned if they made another signing. You might see a report of an Exhibit 10 signing. That'll probably be just a training camp deal. Those are normally summertime contracts. There is no summertime. The offseason is very, very short. Training camps open in less than 2 weeks. But I think the Grizzlies are done. And let's talk about the players they have right after this quick break. Hey guys, even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your accounts at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed.com is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. So go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. All right. Now, when I sit back and look at this Grizzlies roster, I'm in awe at a couple of things. In a good way. There are so many players under contract for 2 years. The Grizzlies have 14 guys under contract for the next 2 seasons. The only players who aren't necessarily under contract are Gorgui Dieng, expiring deal, Marco Guduric, and Mario Hezonja, expiring deal. Grayson Allen's going to have a team option. Justice Winslow has a team option. So the Grizzlies can pick those up. That's weird. I don't feel like I ever remember seeing that where a team had, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just not noticing it. But the Grizzlies have 14 players under contract for the next 2 seasons. The exciting part is 11 of them are 24 and under. Old man Grayson, unfortunately, he's 25. We don't like him. No, I'm kidding. But these guys are young. You have Jontay Porter, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., babies, 21 years old. Xavier Tillman, also 21 years old. First round pick, Desmond Bane, he's 22. A month older than him is De'Anthony Melton, 22. Then we have second-year player Brandon Clark. He's 24. But we expect a lot of improvement for him. I mean, again, I'm talking about age a lot. Age doesn't matter that much. Sometimes experience kind of adds up. But the potential of these guys who are unproven in the NBA, who are just beginning their careers, it's exciting. So Brandon Clark, you know, he's 24, long way to go. And then you have this collection of other guys, Tyus Jones. We don't think his ceiling is that high, but he's proven, and he can be here for a while and grow with the team. Justice Winslow, also 24. John Conchar, surprise, he's older than Justice Winslow. I'm guessing most people don't know that. I was surprised. I knew they were both 24, but I double-checked it a couple times. And then Dylan Brooks is 24. That's an incredible collection of talent. And like I've explained before, when I was saying I would pay De'Anthony Melton way more than they actually paid him, all these guys are cost-controlled. Those 11 players they just named who are 24 years old or younger, they make a combined $70 million. The salary cap next year is going to be like $112 million. Those 11 guys right there, who you might think are keepers, they make combined $70 million. So if you decide you want to trade away Jonas Valanciunas or unload the contract of Kyle Anderson, you'd have a ton of cap room. As it is, the Grizzlies next summer or fall, whenever free agency will be, they're set to have a good amount of cap space because you have all these guys that are cost controlled. I mean, even if you include Jonas Valanciunas and Kyle Anderson, these 13 players I was talking about under contract, that only takes you up to like $91 million. That still leaves space. $90 million for 13 players who you want to have is just a really commendable job by this front office putting some pieces together. I mean, they got some lottery luck. You get Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. But these extensions and contracts they've signed, they don't have that much risk, honestly. The Jonas Valanciunas deal is good. But like Tyus Jones, Dylan Brooks, De'Anthony Melton, those are all fair contracts. They traded for Justice Winslow, who's we know has struggled with injury. But this guy was on people's like won't trade list a couple years ago. He's been listed before as like, you know, best players under 25. Justice Winslow used to be included in these things. We've forgotten about him. And enthusiasm has waned because that's what happens when you miss a lot of games. But at the very least, if the things don't work out with Justice Winslow next year, it's a team option and the Grizzlies can just not pick it up. And then you have even more cap space. There is a flip side to all the optimism of this young core. I mean, I think as excited as we are as Grizzlies fans, we recognize this team, even, you know, looking at the pretty cap sheet and saying, like, these are great contracts. Good job, everybody. This team isn't a likely playoff team. They might be. They're probably going to go this season as far as Ja Morant takes them. And as early as Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back, I think we know, honestly, best case scenario for this team is to get a high draft pick next year to add to this great collection of reasonably priced players. There's also a risk that has to be said. We're excited about these young players, but there's at least four of them that we can't be certain are actually NBA players. Or NBA rotation players. Like, it's cool we have all these young players locked down for a while, but no one honestly knows if Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, Jontay Porter, and even John Conchar are definitely NBA rotation players. Like, they're taking some risk that those guys don't work out. Because if just a couple of them work out, financially that's worth it for you because they will outplay the value of their contracts. I mean, the 30th and 35th picks of a draft don't normally contribute and usually don't become rotation NBA players. The same can obviously be said for undrafted players like John Conchar and Jontay Porter. So there is risk in some of these guys. But a lot of them, I don't think there's very much risk at all. I mean, Ja and Jaren on the rookie deals, that's locked in, and Brandon Clark locked in. No risk at all. We know they're great. We know they're going to exceed the value of their contracts. I think Dylan Brooks is going to live up to his contract. Love him or hate him, or whatever I am, constantly infuriated, but also appreciative that he does things they need. His contract's fair, I think. And he fits on the team, basketball-wise. Like, that's another thing about the D'Anthony Melton deal. D'Anthony Melton is a perfect complement to Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Those are the players you want. It's a huge bonus that he's super young and has upside. Finding players that can complement Jaren and Ja the whole game. And they have a bunch of them that fit together. Exactly how they fit together, I guess that'll be what we can talk about maybe in the next episode. Like the depth chart, if they don't add anybody else. The depth chart when Jaren Jackson Jr. doesn't play and when Justice Winslow doesn't play. With Jaren and Justice unavailable, I would start opening night. Ja Morant, D'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, Jonas Valanciunas. I think with the roster makeup what it is now, Dylan Brooks will probably or should probably play a lot more three than he played last season. I think you're going to want to get Melton and Grayson Allen and maybe Desmond Bane some playing time. I'm not penciling in Desmond Bane or Xavier Tillman for a lot of minutes. I don't ever believe in rookies until they do something in the NBA. Maybe this is why I thought the Grizzlies were certainly going to be the worst team in the NBA last season. I mean, I was wrong. Ja Morant was transcendent. He was great. But I don't expect much from Desmond Bane. But even if Desmond Bane isn't included in your plans, I know some people, based on the bubble play, want to think maybe Grayson Allen gets a shot. And Grayson Allen, again, just a third-year player. But it's interesting when you look at this team that's paid a extension to Dylan Brooks and paid an extension to D'Anthony Melton. You know, will those guys play behind Grayson Allen? Maybe. Again, Melton played behind him in the bubble a lot. I think Ja and Grayson are a bad pair. I think despite the shooting, Melton covers up some of the warts a little bit better. But it's going to be tough. Again, the Grizzlies aren't going to be super good next year, I don't think. And it's hard to piece together a lineup. I honestly think with a fully healthy squad, or at least with Jaren Jackson Jr. back, I would start Ja Morant, D'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jonas Valanciunas. Have my second unit be something like Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, Justice Winslow, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark. Like, I like that pretty well. But I think we do know, no matter what happens, Taylor Jenkins is going to play a lot of guys. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, let's wrap this episode. I'll get back to more of the depth chart stuff in a future episode. Let's wrap this episode up with the breaking news from Sunday that our boy Mark Gasol is joining the Los Angeles Lakers. Feels weird. I don't like the Lakers at all. I mean, I'm old enough to remember being very mad when the Grizzlies traded Pau Gasol to the Lakers. Not because I didn't want to trade Pau Gasol, but the idea of trading him to the Lakers I hated. I thought the return was terrible. We all know it worked out pretty well for the Grizzlies in getting Mark Gasol back in that deal. I got mixed feelings. I guess I've been kind of a Laker hater most of my life. I do like LeBron James. I am actually very openly excited of the idea of Mark Gasol playing with LeBron James. That seems great. Just don't like the jerseys, but I probably will get over it and keep cheering for Mark Gasol there. But anyway, I hope you guys are excited as me that the Grizzlies took care of business and kept the young players on the team, and it should be fun. But anyway, appreciate you listening to this show. Tell other Grizzlies fans about the show so we can keep growing those numbers. You guys have a good one. Go Grizz.